Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this Red Monday, getting you ready for Chiefs and Jaguars on Monday Night Football. We are going to be joined by Ben Stevens coming up in about 45 minutes. He is going to help us take a look at this from the gambling perspective. I know a lot of you plan on making a wager of some kind on tonight's game, so I want to help you guys out. Should you be taking the over? Should you be taking the under? Who are some of his favorite touchdown props, player over-unders on receiving yards, rushing yards, all of that? We'll get to that coming up at about 2:45. We also are going to take a trip to Jacksonville, Florida, to be joined by Ryan Green. We'll get his thoughts on Jacksonville ahead of this Week 5 matchup. There's a lot of things to get into in today's show. Before we do that, let me remind you of a couple of things. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. I mean, you could tell two people to check out the show, but you know what? If you could just tell one person, I would greatly appreciate it. And number three, and it might be most important, be sure to stop by the other place. Maybe you're looking for a place to watch the game tonight. Well, let me tell you, there's a place that has incredible food specials, great beer specials, great drink specials, and TVs everywhere so you can watch the game. I actually watched football there yesterday with my friends. I would highly encourage you to go stop by and check out the other place if you are looking for a place to check out the game coming up later today. All right, these are the two things that I would like to get into as we begin today's show. This is going to be my message today to the Kansas City Chiefs. This game feels very simple to me. Protect Patrick Mahomes, protect the football, win the game. Now, you're thinking, that seems pretty obvious, but if you are looking at Jacksonville right now, they have forced 13 takeaways so far this season. There's only one other team in the National Football League that has forced double-digit takeovers. They have been elite at taking the football away. They have 9 interceptions so far this year. They have forced 4 fumbles so far this season. They have done a great job themselves of not turning it over. So if you are going to be in these games where you are pretty routinely winning the turnover differential by +2 and +3, I believe that is the biggest reason of how Jacksonville has been able to get to a 3-1 record. If you can protect the football, protect your quarterback, keep him clean, keep him upright, I don't believe that Jacksonville is a team that can beat Kansas City straight up. I don't think they're talented enough to beat Kansas City straight up. I don't think their quarterback is good enough to beat Kansas City and to attack this defense without the help of turnovers and creating short drives for the offense. So my biggest message for Kansas City is a very simple one. All you need to do is look at turnover differential. There are two stats that I think tell you who won the game, and you don't even have to watch the game. Who won the turnover differential? Who was better on third down? Jacksonville has done a great job of being very good at both of those things. And that's how they have been the surprise team in the first month of the season. That's how they have put themselves in a position where they are 3-1 and have a chance to win their division because they have been so good this far when it comes to taking the football away. But this is not sustainable. I don't think that the Jacksonville Jaguars are forcing 45 turnovers this season. I don't think they're getting 30 interceptions this season. That's why I'm saying protect the ball, protect Pat. I think this is a game that you win. Now, it is certainly easier when you have your full complement of weapons. This team is still a couple of weeks away from getting Rashee Rice, but there were some questions about Xavier Worthy, who was a late addition to the injury list. So this is the full story. This is from Cameron Wolf of CBS Sports. I'm told Chiefs wide receiver Xavier Worthy, his ankle was a little swollen getting off the plane. So the Chiefs put him on the injury report as questionable as a precaution, and they'll see how he feels tomorrow. That was yesterday. Fast forward to today. Xavier Worthy is expected to play tonight despite dealing with some ankle swelling yesterday, per a source. The Chiefs will see how Worthy feels at the stadium to confirm, but the Chiefs expect that he is going to be good to go. So it sounds to me like it was just a little bit of a precaution, a little bit of a football injury. You got to put him on the injury report because that's the rules in the National Football League. But I don't think that there's anything to worry about. We saw his explosiveness last week in the game against Jacksonville. He was their leading rusher. He was also their leading receiver. Their offense just works tremendously different when they have Xavier Worthy on the field versus him not being on the field. So that is something that I'm going to be looking for. Is he limited in any way? Does he have the same explosiveness that we have come accustomed to when it comes to Xavier Worthy? Because again, if we were talking about firepower, we were talking about weapons, I just think there's more on one side than the other side. I think there's more on the Kansas City side. Last thing here, and I am open to taking you guys' phone calls today, 913-586-7965. I feel like we're doing an extended pregame show because we're off at 4 o'clock today for the actual Chiefs pregame show. This is a really, really big spot for Jacksonville in terms of being legitimate. If you are coming into this with some hesitation towards Jacksonville, I think that is very, very understandable. Now, I don't want to play the schedule game with Jacksonville because at this point, I think that things are just completely jumbled up. But you did beat Carolina in your first game. You lost to Cincinnati. Now, Cincinnati still had Joe Burrow when you played him, and they are a very different team now. You beat Houston. Have no clue how good Houston is, but I don't think Houston is a very good team. This is a Jacksonville team that also went on the road and beat San Francisco last week. Now, this is a very telling stretch for them. On the road against San Francisco, who could possibly win that division. They got Kansas City tonight. Seattle coming up on Sunday, and then they go to London to play the Los Angeles Rams. So we're talking about a stretch where you are potentially playing four playoff teams, three teams from the NFC West, and also the best team in the AFC West in the Kansas City Chiefs. So this is just a really telling, how good is Jacksonville? I don't have a clear answer right now. I don't think anybody has a clear answer. It's not just with Jacksonville. I don't have a clear answer on a lot of teams right now on the National Football League, if they're a good or a bad team. Again, everything just feels very jumbled up right now in the National Football League, and that's fine. It's early in the season, and it will become clearer as we progress and as we see more and more of the results of these matchups. But if you are trying to show the rest of the NFL that you're here, that this is a different kind of team, it is you go out, you play very physical against Kansas City, and while Kansas City is still a little bit wounded, Xavier Worthy having the ankle injury we just mentioned, no Rashee Rice, running game still, trying to figure some things out, this is the perfect time on a night game on Monday Night Football for you to possibly catch Kansas City slipping. Let's see how good Jacksonville is. Let's see if Jacksonville is one of those teams that can be legitimate and maybe they're in a position that they're going to be there at the end of the season. I'm not expecting that. I think Kansas City wins this game for the reasons I've been telling you guys. I don't think that Jacksonville is that good. I think they are a team that have been propped up by turnovers, and I think turnover luck always turns as the season progresses. If your defense and your key to winning is tied in you forcing turnovers, eventually that stops, and you got to beat teams straight up, and I just don't think that Jacksonville is that kind of team. We can take you guys' phone calls, 913-586 7965. We can read your texts as well. We got a lot of stuff to get into talking about this game. Coming up in about 30 minutes, Ben Stevens is going to join us to take a look at the gambling perspective for this matchup. We're also going to head to Jacksonville to take a closer look at it from the it behind enemy lines. Coming up on the other side, Jacksonville has one of the top five picks in last year's NFL draft. He hasn't really done much so far this season. We'll talk about Travis Hunter next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our Monday football coverage is presented by Busey Bank, where they're focused on your success. At Busey Bank, they've been building business and growing wealth since 1868. You can learn more at buseybank.com. We were talking about the Monday night football game that we have coming up later today between the Chiefs and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I looked this up during the commercial break. Jacksonville only has 3 home wins on Monday night football since the turn of the century. They just don't get a lot of these opportunities to play on Monday Night Football. They don't really win when they get these opportunities. Rob, the last time that Jacksonville won a home game on Monday Night Football was back in 2011. Now, I know you guys aren't looking at it from this perspective. I completely understand. But winning this game doesn't really do a whole lot for the Chiefs. I mean, it's great, right? You keep up in the AFC West, and I understand all of that. It doesn't really change anybody's national perception about Kansas City. This is a playoff team. They're going to be in it to the end. They got a chance to win their division. I know what Kansas City is. This win does everything for the Jacksonville Jaguars if they can figure it out. We just don't look at them as that kind of team. Now, I don't think even if they get this win, it's now putting them to win their division or do these things, but it is possible. It's not crazy. It validates it. If you in back-to-back weeks can go on the road and beat San Francisco and then beat Kansas City, we maybe, possibly, have to take you seriously in the AFC. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but I do think that that is a theme in today's game. I don't know if we know what's real and what's fake right now in the NFL. Buffalo loses at home. The Eagles have been real shaky for the last couple of weeks. Eventually, that Jenga tower collapsed. Like, it feels like right now we are just in the process of feeling every team out. It's like a boxing match, and in the first couple of rounds, there's just no winner, and you're expected to see the action really pick up once you get to the middle and late rounds. That's where it feels like we're at right now in the NFL. We're trying to make our determinations on teams and players and coaches and all of these things. Jacksonville right now is firmly in the, I don't know, maybe a lot of that stems from their quarterback, who is also in the, well, he's okay. Or maybe it's their head coach that we just don't really know a whole lot about. But I think Jacksonville, on the course of trying to be a brand name, so to speak, and to be a team and an organization that you could quite possibly take serious, it's winning these games on Monday Night Football for us to determine if you were a team that we really need to pay attention to. Or you lose this game like you usually have in your organization. Next thing you know, you lose this one, you lose 3 of 5. And next thing you know, we look up and you're an 8-9 football team like I expect them to finish out. But in terms of building a resume, coming off as legitimate, Rob, winning this game will go a long way for Jacksonville. I 100% agree with you. I made this analogy earlier in the week. I guess at this point it was last week, not earlier in the week, so I apologize. I made this analogy last week, and we disagree about how perfect the analogy is, but I think on a whole you'll understand it. I remember it was the day of the Royals wild card game. The Chiefs were playing the Patriots, and the Chiefs were coming off a playoff season where they had choked to the Colts, and they had Alex Smith, and they kind of started slow, and people in Kansas City felt like, hey, we're a good team. We have Andy Reid. We're not the same Chiefs as 5-10 years ago, and the Patriots were the Patriots at that point, and the Chiefs went out and just walloped them. And the conversation the next day on the national shows, whatever First Things First would have been doing that day had it existed, they would have been talking about, oh wow, the Chiefs might be for real. Andy Reid might have been building something in Kansas City. Like, there would be a shift in how people talk about the Chiefs because of that day. Now, I don't know the Jags are going to be able to do it to that level, and I don't know the Jags are going to become that team, but I think that analogy works because there was a chance for a team that has had playoff appearances and has had some really thin years to really change perception because they have the bully of the AFC in their building, standalone game, Monday Night Football, national television. If they go out there and beat the Chiefs, let alone wallop them, neither of which I think is going to happen, but if they did that, the way people talk about the Jags tomorrow would be very, very, very different, including in Kansas City.
Yeah, just looking at their schedule, again, you got Kansas City, Seattle, the Rams in the month of October, a bye week. Like, you got a chance here if you can navigate this stretch with back-to-back home games and then an international game that just usually those games feel like coin flips. You could put yourself in a position where you're 6-2 heading into your bye week in a pretty weak division. So let's see what happens with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's talk a little bit about Travis Hunter. Now, admittedly, I would consider myself to be a Travis Hunter fan. I just liked watching him play last year. He was incredibly electric. I would have voted for him to win the Heisman Trophy last year. I know a lot of you would have voted for Ashton Jeanty. Two great players. I thought that Travis Hunter was the best player in college football last season. This is the thing that's really confusing to me about Jacksonville and their plan with Travis Hunter. They're not really using him, which just doesn't really make any sense. So let's talk about it from a wide receiver perspective, because that's where they seem like they think he fits best. Emeka Egbuka, who is having a phenomenal rookie year, he's playing in 85% of the offensive snaps for Tampa Bay. 85%. I mean, this is the guy that's getting a lot of opportunities, getting a lot of routes, getting a lot of chances, and making the most of his chances as a dynamic college receiver who has really, really transitioned well into the National Football League. If you look at Jacksonville, Travis Hunter is playing in 57% of the snaps. So to add it, Emeka Egbuka has played in 290 snaps so far this season. Travis Hunter has played 159. Now, Egbuka's played one extra game because of yesterday, but that's at least giving you a percentage of kind of how they're using him. And then on defense, I mean, they're not really using him. He's played in 38% of their defensive snaps. So you're not really committed to him being your number two wide receiver, certainly not in terms of usage, routes, all of those kind of things. You have him just kind of in the mix with your other wide receivers. Parker Washington, who's actually had a pretty good year so far this year. So, like, you're not really using him much more than those guys. And then on defense, you're not really giving him a whole lot of opportunities. He's only playing in 38% of the defensive snaps. You got to commit to doing one of these two things with Travis Hunter. You got to just let him go how Colorado did last year and just let him play. And maybe he breaks down, but you just got to let him play. You got to let him go out there and play wide receiver, turn around and play on defense. You just got to let Travis Hunter go, or you got to use him how Deion was used when he was with the Atlanta Falcons. I'm going to play corner, or I'm going to play primarily one position, and I'll moonlight periodically on the other side. You guys remember how the Cowboys used Deion, how the Falcons used Deion. We're going to let you do a little kick return. We're going to let you do a little punt return. You're primarily going to play corner, but every once in a while, we'll put you on offense. We'll give you a go route. We'll give you an end around. We'll give you a jet sweep. We just think that you are an explosive player with your hand. There seemed to be a plan with the usage of Deion Sanders when teams were trying to do this. I don't really know what the plan is with Travis Hunter. You're not using him like a number one wide receiver, which you spent a significant amount of resources. You feel like he could be a number one wide receiver, so you're not using him like that. You're also not using him like a guy that could turn out to be an all-pro corner. This just feels like such a misusage of his ability. Also, just not getting the bang for your buck of what you traded for. You traded a future first-round pick to go get him. You think that Travis Hunter is a special, special talent. Then you got to use him like he's a special, special talent. But right now, he's incredibly average at two things. He's an incredibly average wide receiver, and they're making him an incredibly average corner. I think he can be one of the best corners in the league. You can't be that if you're only playing 38% of the snaps. There's no way you can turn into that.
Can you explain to me, and maybe the answer is as simple as it's Jacksonville and the NFL world does not keep up with Jacksonville. And that's fine if that's the answer to this question. Why is this not a major talking point all the time this season in the NFL? Like, just, you always have, talk about the say it out loud test. Let's say it out loud. Why is this not a bigger deal? The Heisman Trophy winner was a top five pick. A team hemorrhaged future draft capital to go acquire him. They are now not playing him. I know he's on the field, but based on those numbers, he's basically a rotational player at both positions. Why is this not a major talking point everywhere?
Because Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. I would imagine if you were to poll 500 Chiefs fans who before they heard this segment, they would probably say, hey, and you ask them, hey, what do you about the Jags game? The Chiefs play the Jags Monday Night Football. What do you about the Jags? I bet a bunch of them, it's like, oh, the Jags have Travis Hunter because they saw him last year at Colorado and they don't watch Jags games. It's just astonishing to me that the best player in college football last year, the biggest story in college football last year, probably the biggest story on draft night because of the trade with the Browns and what everyone gave up, and one of the biggest stories in training camp, which was just, what, 3 months ago because he had to play both sides of the ball, is basically not playing NFL football, and it's kind of like, oh, the average person is just learning that. It's legitimately astonishing to me, and I'm with you. I think you're higher on Travis Hunter than I am, like, because you liked him more than me, and that's fine. But you got to either A, commit to him being one of the two and let him loose, or you got to do what you said and commit to him being both. Because right now, him not playing is just the craziest thing I think we've seen in the NFL this season.
Yeah, a lot of it to me, it's just usage. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm looking at the Chiefs snap counts. I mean, Tyquan Thornton has been on the field more at wide receiver than Travis Hunter has been so far this season. So you're not getting your value as a wide receiver. He's just not on the field enough. And Tyquan Thornton, I'm not here to put down him. I'm just using him like, and it's an example. Like, the Chiefs didn't spend the number two overall pick on Tyquan Thornton. I think we know what he is. Hey, he's a very productive player, role guy. He's found his niche, and he is going to live in it. That's not how at least Travis Hunter was viewed coming into the NFL. And then when you look on the defensive side of how he's being used, you're not getting the value on that side of the ball either because you're just not playing him enough. It sounds like you and I agree when it comes to this. Like, you and I are on the same page. You either got to commit to, we're going to play you at corner, so you're going to be on the field 85% of the time, and then we'll use you periodically as a wide receiver, or vice versa. Hey, we think you can be a Mecca Egbuka. We think you can be one of the best young receivers in the NFL. We are going to hone in on that, and we'll let you moonlight as a corner every once in a while. But right now, you got two average players on both sides of the ball. I think somebody made this joke on Twitter. I wish I knew who it was. I would give him credit. You spent the number two overall pick on an okay corner and Wandale Robinson on offense. That's what you spent it on. That's obviously not what you thought he was going to be. So you just got to commit to whatever the plan is. But it just doesn't feel like they have a plan right now.
Me and you agree. I guess the one addendum to where we kind of minorly disagree is I honestly, if I was a Jags fan, which I'm not because I exist in the world and Jags fans are an idea. They're a myth. They're a concept. I don't care which side of the ball he plays at. I just want him on the field more on either side. I agree with you. I think he's a better corner than wide receiver. But if Liam Cohen and the Jags decided he's our new wide receiver number two and he's going to be getting 75-80% of the snaps and we're not going to mess around with him on defense anymore, that's fine. I saw Travis Hunter play live last year. He's a good wide receiver. I think he could be a good NFL wide receiver. I think he's a better corner, so I'd be in your camp, and I'd be playing him more there. But this idea of, you know, a dollop of offense, a dollop of defense, but never really doing either at a very high rate, high usage, or high level is benefiting the Jags none. Honestly, considering they're getting so little out of their first-round pick, which seems to be their own doing. It's really remarkable the Jags are pretty good this year because they're getting nothing out of Travis Hunter, who last year, again, won the Heisman for how good he was in college football.
I want to play this audio for you guys. This is Mitch Holtz's voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's what he had to say about Jacksonville and their ability to take the football away.
The point is Jacksonville's nasty now. They only had 9 takeaways in 17 games last year. They're sitting here looking at 13 takeaways in 4 games and 41 points off those takeaways. They're young and feisty and physical, and Travis Etienne's playing great. He had a huge game yesterday. They get Lawrence, where he didn't turn it over yesterday. He had been turning it over in the first 3 games, but I should have mentioned them. What is the AFC South like that? Do you have a 13-4 team? I don't know if the Jags can get there, but that might be your best candidate. And yeah, this is a big game for them. Same with the Chiefs, but this is a much better Jacksonville team than I think maybe Chiefs Kingdom fans want to give them credit for. They're looking at last year's team. Nope, this is a new team, and they're fast and furious.
I want to take you guys back in the time machine a little bit. The only reason I want to do that is because a lot of you still reference, and I get why people reference this, the Chris Collinsworth game in Juwan Taylor's career. You reference the Juwan Taylor game. Chris Collinsworth said this. He unfairly picked him out. And ever since then, he has been a marked man. Rob, do you know who the Chiefs played in week 2? Because that was week 1. That was the first game of Juwan Taylor's career. It's his first time, our first game in Kansas City. Do you know who they played in week 2?
The Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville.
They played Jacksonville. You want to know how many penalties he had in that game?
Well, I remember he got pulled at one point, so it was
a
lot.
He had 5. He had 5 penalties in that game. He had 4 either false start or illegal formation penalties, and he had 1 offensive holding penalties. We can talk about how real or not real you thought last week's performance was against the Ravens, and there's a lot to talk about because we just saw the Ravens get beat down again on Sunday. But I think the big takeaway from everything was how clean the offensive line played, how well they played. They dominated. That's the best, I would say, cohesive unit that we've seen the Chiefs put together in quite some time. A thing that was very noticeable and stood out to a lot of people was how clean of play it was over at right tackle and how they didn't have a penalty. This is a road night game, Monday night football, a place that was a house of horrors for you the last time that you were there. One player that I'm directly looking at in this game is Juwan Taylor. Last time out, it went perfect for you against the Ravens. Is that something that you can potentially build upon? Is that something that we can carry over and keep that momentum and keep that going? Or is this going to be like we've seen plenty of times, or the last time that the Chiefs went to Jacksonville 2 years ago and you had 5 penalties and they had to put you in timeout just to cool down and settle yourself a little bit? Juwan Taylor is one of the guys that I got my eye on because I'm not all the way there yet. Hey, that was one start. Hey, it was good, but you're not supposed to get false start penalties. You're not supposed to get illegal formation penalties. I'm not giving you credit for giving me the baseline as a player in this game where I think that Jacksonville has a capable pass rush, where I think they got a good defensive line, where I think their D-line can cause disruption, cause those turnovers that Mitch Holtz was just talking about, be disruptive, be chaotic, force turnovers, and really muddy up this game to give their offense a chance. Man, it really starts with me at right tackle, and can you continue the very solid play that you got last week against the Ravens?
I think that theme extends beyond just Juwan Taylor. I agree the other thing about Juwan Taylor. Like, I am probably in your camp where I'm skeptical and or maybe a cynic because I feel like the data, the sample size tells us that his game against the Ravens was an outlier. He is more likely than not going to be penalized again tonight at some point, some way, somehow. Maybe not 5, but I believe he will probably catch penalty tonight because that's just who Juwan Taylor has been his NFL career. But I think that, hey, was last week real or is this week, was it just a mirage? is kind of the biggest talking point of the Chiefs tonight. Like, it's the only talking point, really. Like, if they go out and take care of business, I think Chiefs fans will be in the right, and they can, you know, puff out their chest and say, see, last week the Chiefs turned the corner. Watch out, league. Here we come. Weeks one and two were just whatever. Now we're back in our game. But if it was another slog, if it looks like the Giants game and it's ugly and the offense is stuck in the mud and Juwan Taylor is all the penalties all over again, man, it might be a lot of the same conversations we had following the Giants game for Kansas City and their Chiefs fans.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I guess I'm really intrigued just to see and get an answer to our question on whether it was real or not real last week, or what percentage of it was Kansas City, is maybe a better way of putting it. What percentage of their performance was the Chiefs and them really turning the corner and them really starting to figure things out and be a cohesive unit? What portion of that was them playing the Baltimore Ravens? Because if you want to look at the Ravens matchup from yesterday against the Houston Texans, their defense and their team, they stink. That is a bad football team. They really are right now. That is a bad team that can't do a whole lot right. I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the drive charts. I mean, the Texans scored on their first eight offensive possessions. So, I mean, just very similar to what Kansas City did. And this is a Houston offense that couldn't really get right before any of this. This is a Houston offense that was really struggling up until they went up against the Baltimore Ravens, and they were able to basically do whatever they wanted to offensively. That's kind of like what Kansas City was able to do last week against the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I'm not here to take away from the performance. The Chiefs did what they did. You got to move on and you got to do it. I think that Jacksonville is going to provide far more resistance than I think the Ravens can provide at this point. What we do know is the Ravens are not good. I don't know if Jacksonville is good, but I know that Baltimore is not good. I know that Baltimore is not capable. We are still trying to figure that out. So this is a really good test for a Kansas City offense. You got Xavier Worthy back. He's supposed to go in this one. We'll talk a little bit more about Rashard Smith and what his role could possibly look like in this offense. And are they going to expound upon it the way that they said they were going to in this matchup? But I do think that's a question that you have to ask heading into this matchup. Hey, last week we saw the Chiefs offense kick around the Ravens. We saw the Ravens yesterday. The Ravens continued to get kicked around by a team that very few people think are going to make the postseason. This just feels like one of those years from hell for the Ravens. It just feels like a lost season for them so far. That's a bad team that just can't do a lot of things right. The Chiefs were able to take advantage of that team, and it was great. Can they continue that against Jacksonville today against a team that has gotten off to a good start?
I pulled the stats. You mentioned the drive charts. Listen to these stats because I pulled them. This is the Ravens' last two games. So this is the Chiefs game where the Chiefs offense, everyone says, oh boy, they're back. And the Texans who, you know, for a peek behind the curtain, earlier today we were kind of in the office chit-chatting about the NFL, me, you, and the boss man, and Speck says the Texans stink. Here are the last two Ravens games as far as drives. The Ravens have conceded 20 drives in those two games, 10 games each. In 15 of those drives, they give up points. 15 of the last 20 drives, the Ravens' defense has been on the field, points are scored. That's astonishing. To make matters worse for how terrible that Ravens' defense is, of those 15 scoring drives, so the 15 times they gave up points, 9 of them were touchdowns. Basically, quick math, of the last 20 drives the Ravens' defense has been on the field, basically 50% of the time, man, you're scoring a touchdown. And by the way, two of those drives, if you look at the drive chart on Pro Football Reference, you know what it says? End of game. So it might be a kneel, it might be a running out of the clock. So if you want to tell me that, A, they've only played 18 drives, those will only make the numbers look worse. Like the Ravens' defense is trash, and trash is the nicest way on the radio I can say it. So I think that's the big thing tonight. Was it the Chiefs last week turning the corner? Were these healthy? The offense is back. Watch out. Mahomes has a chance to be the MVP again. All those conversations. Or are we on Tuesday going to say, maybe the Chiefs got to face the Ravens defense, which might be worse than Dallas?
I mean, it's also important to note, and I know you can't play the transitive property, Team A and Team B. I get all of that. I mean, Houston scored 10 points against Jacksonville. 2 weeks ago, they scored 10 points against Jacksonville, and they looked like an absolute juggernaut last night against the Baltimore Ravens. So, again, I do think the Ravens just played a major part of it. Again, it doesn't matter to me about the Ravens anymore. They are in the rearview mirror. Can you take what you did well in that game, which was getting Xavier Worthy involved, which was using Breshard Smith, which was converting those first downs, which was playing a clean game with your offensive line, with the left side with the young guys, and also with Jawan Taylor not committing penalties? I think most people agree here, and let me know, 913-586-7965. If you disagree, you're certainly allowed to. If the Chiefs play a clean game, I just don't think Jacksonville can beat them. If this game is played straight up, if Kansas City doesn't lose the turnover differential, if Kansas City can control the line of scrimmage, if you don't have a touchdown drive that is altered because of a legal formation or a false start that takes a big play off of the drive, if that's the game that they're going to go on the road and play, I think they just beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. Where teams get into trouble and where Kansas City's offense has been stalled, it's been by not doing those things when you go up against a capable defense. I think Jacksonville has a capable defense right now. So I do think we'll see a very good test on the answer to our question from last week, if it was the Chiefs offense and then legitimately turning a corner, or they just went up against the Ravens at right now the perfect time to play the Ravens. Because right now, I'm telling you, everybody is getting a turn right now against the Baltimore Ravens. They cannot stop anybody. You just gave the stat. They have allowed points on the on 15 of their last 20 drives that they have had on defense. At this point, if you take the field against the Ravens, you should expect to go down the field and score a touchdown, because that is what the last two opponents have done against them. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Ben Stevens. He is with VSiN. We'll take a look at the gambling perspective of Monday Night Football. Would you take the over? Should you take the under? Who are his favorite touchdown props for today? Some over-under on player props. We'll get you ready. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to take a look at today's Monday Night Football game from the gambling perspective. My guy Ben Stevens joins us on the show. He does fantastic work with VSiN. Ben, how you doing today, my man?
Carrington, my man, I am doing very well. It is always a wonderful Monday if I am talking to you, previewing some Kansas City Chiefs football. So excited to dive in.
Absolutely, man. Let's just start with this. A lot of people should have got this number yesterday because you had a chance to get this at -3. It is now at -3.5. I'm wondering if this scares you at all, or should you just not worry about the half point? If you feel strongly about Kansas City, just take it.
You know, as they say, Carrington, the key numbers in the National Football League are that firm number of a field goal at 3 and a firm number at a touchdown of 7. If you are losing the hook either which way, you have missed the best of the number. And that, of course, is if the game falls on that flat number of 3 and the flat number of 7, which happens often. It's why they are the key and vital numbers when it comes to handicapping NFL football. You would be surprised how close, of course, these margins are. The NFL is unlike any other sport that you can bet because there are not edges. There are not sharp sides often when you go about this because of how well these are handicapped and placed each and every week. What I will say, though, is if you look at that hook and still expect Kansas City to win this game, you're talking about a one-possession score. That one possession could be a field goal. That one possession could be up to a touchdown. And still having it at 3.5 with the number of four being vital for Kansas City the last 2.5 years, I think that's where you can still find some value. Look into the stats. And oftentimes when Patrick Mahomes has been the quarterback for the Chiefs, dating back to that first full season in 2018, a lot is said about Kansas City's inability to cover, booked as a favorite, obviously incredibly frequently. 58-58-4 against the spread since Mahomes became the starter in 2018 when booked as the favored side. But in the last few years, Carrington, in the games where that spread was under a touchdown, in fact, 4 points or fewer, Kansas City in the regular season, 7-3 against the number, and two of those three non-covers back in 2023 against the Eagles and the Bills. And the only other non-cover where KC has been booked as a 4-point favorite or fewer since the start of 2023 in the Brazilian opener against Los Angeles to start off this year against the Bulls. So, back the number is still fewer than four. I still think there is some value on Kansas City if you think the Chiefs win this game tonight at Duval County.
I really like touchdown props. I'm usually somebody that likes to stay for the either I'm going to take the spread or the money line, depending on what it is. And I usually try to find one or two players that I think have great value when it comes to scoring a touchdown. Everybody right now is plus money. I got a rule. I'm not paying the juice for a touchdown. They're already random enough, so I'm not paying the juice for it. Are there a couple of touchdown props that you like for today? You can get Travis Etienne at plus 110, Kelsey's at 155, Worthy's at 150. Are there some touchdown props that you like?
Yeah, no doubt about it, Carrington. And when you look at this Jacksonville side, one of the better rushing offenses so far in the opening month of this NFL season, averaging about 144 yards per game, and they're running it on nearly 44% of their plays. That's top half of the NFL, 13th most often in the National Football League. So Travis Etienne being that plus 115 number, the shortest in a game that features a total of 45.5, not a bad look. This is not our highest total by any means, but of course some points are expected. I love the rookie running back out of Virginia Tech in Bashaul Tuten. His number at plus 400, maybe a little bit more of a sprinkle on that anytime touchdown number. What's really interesting about how the Chiefs have constructed things offensively this year, of course, Patrick Mahomes in terms of yardage is KC's leading rusher. However, the most frequent attempts, that's going to Kareem Hunt, slightly edging out both Mahomes and Isaiah Pacheco. Kareem Hunt to hit Pater tonight, a plus 245 price. It has not been the most easy in terms of how the Chiefs have done things on the ground so far this year, but if I'm looking at some of these plus money prices, love Jacksonville on the ground, Travis Etienne, even a longer shot on the rookie out of Vod Tech in Bashaul Tuten at a plus 400 number, or if you're looking at Kansas City, I think Kareem Hunt having that plus 245 price, still being the guy the Chiefs give the ball to most frequently on the ground against this Jacksonville defense, a way I would approach things for Monday night.
Right now, we're talking to Ben Stevens of VSiN, taking a closer look at the gambling perspective of Monday Night Football. Ben, are you touching any rushing prop with Kansas City? You just mentioned a couple of them. I kind of like Kareem Hunt over-under on attempts. You can get that at 8.5 right now. I just think he gets to double digits. I could see the Chiefs being in control of this game, so they're just trying to rack up carries toward the end of the game. I think that's just about it, maybe aside from a Kareem Hunt anytime touchdown. Are you staying away from rushing props completely when it comes to KC right now?
I would kind of look at Kareem Hunt, though, Carrington, because I do believe there is a little bit of value on the number that you mentioned, the rush attempts prop, the over 8.5, as we have shared, at least 8 rushing attempts for Hunt in the last 3 for Kansas City, double digits each of the previous 2 weeks. And you can correlate that then to what I think is a slightly discounted rushing yards prop. We're not expecting Kareem Hunt to go out there and even put up 50-plus, let alone 75-plus or flirt with a triple-digit night in Jacksonville. But that number being 26.5, which when he has had the last 3 weeks, at least 8 carries on the ground, he has gone over this number of 26 in a hook. It's a way I would approach things. And I think the volume that Kansas City decides to approach things with tonight in their rushing attack will be interesting. We mentioned Jacksonville, what they have put up production-wise offensively in establishing the run, $1.44 per game. Well, teams not running it all that frequently against the Jags to begin this season, only facing about 21 attempts of the opposing offense on the ground so far in 2025's NFL season. That is the fewest opponent rush attempts around the National Football League for Jacksonville. How will Kansas City construct the offense? It's a way of looking at it where I like Kareem Hunt on the attempts over 8.5, or thus then correlated Carrington, 26.5 for the rushing yards prop is a way I would look. Don't love the number on Travis Etienne. It's the highest one out there tonight. I mentioned more of the sprinkle, the high volume play with a ton of plus money on the rookie running back Bashaul Tutin to find the end zone at plus 400. But if I was focusing anywhere in rushing props tonight, it's Kareem Hunt's attempts, which I think you have a good one right there at 8.5, or the correlated rushing yards number at 26.5.
Last thing here, Ben, and we appreciate your time. What do you do with the Chiefs wide receiver? So going through the numbers, Travis Kelce is at 42.5. Xavier Worthy is at 59.5. Hollywood Brown, 36.5. Juju Smith-Schuster is at 31.5. I mean, if I had to take one of these, I think I'd probably side with Xavier Worthy, but you just never know who the hot hand is going to be in their offense. One day it can be Juju. One day it can be Tyquan Thornton. One day it can be Marquise Brown. They haven't really kind of settled in on anybody else, so those are just no plays for me.
Yeah, I think it's a tough market to approach as well. Of course, Travis Kelce is always going to get a look. His receptions prop 4.5 at the under the hefty money at minus 161. I think, Carrington, if you have already bet Xavier Worthy, congrats. That number opened earlier this week at 55.5, 56.5 on DraftKings for Xavier Worthy in the receiving yards prop. I checked this about an hour ago. It was 59.5, the receiving yards number for Worthy, and what should be his second full game for KC this year, despite still dealing and listed as questionable on that injury report. That number now, 62.5. Are you finding the best of it as this number is skyrocketing in the market? Absolutely not. Could you still get in on it right now and expect Worthy to have 65, 70, 75 yards tonight against this Jacksonville secondary perhaps as well? One wrinkle I would throw in there, if you are looking beyond Xavier Worthy and beyond Travis Kelce, looking to a guy like a Tyquan Thornton, when you look at his overall receiving yards over-under tonight against Jacksonville, it's 15.5. The longest reception prop for Tyquan Thornton is 12.5. Of course, he can be that deep play threat for Mahomes and this passing offense. It's just a slightly discounted number if you are expecting Tyquan Thornton, not so much for volume or the targets tonight, to be involved in this KC passing attack, to look at that longest reception prop at 12.5, find that one play that goes for 15, 20 yards down the field, an explosive for this Chiefs offense, and cash your ticket that way.
That is our guy, Ben Stevens, joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work for VSiN, taking a look at the gambling perspective for Chiefs and Jaguars. Ben, always great catching up with you, my man.
Carrington, my man, I appreciate it. Good luck to your Tigers this weekend, by the way, in a great game against Alabama. Mizzou can run it. The Crimson Tide, not so great establishing the run this year.
I'm already nervous about it, Ben, and it's Monday, man. I appreciate that. That's our guy, Ben Stevens, joining us on the show today to take a closer look at the gambling perspective for Chiefs and Jaguars. All right, coming up on the other side, I do want to tell you guys what the most popular bets that have been placed on Monday Night Football are. We'll go through those coming up in just a bit. We'll go through the running attack for both of these teams. I actually feel very good about the Chiefs' rush defense going up against a very productive running back that Jacksonville has. We'll do that next. Keep right here, so drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.